and Amud Aleph, we're in the middle of the page. It's the 10th line, the beginning of the line. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Harei Amru, Habarosho Verubo B'mayim Shuvin, V'tohar Shenaflu Al Rosho V'al Rubo Shlosha Lugin Mayim Shuvin Tameh. So this is basically a conclusion of the whole discussion we were having yesterday about whether things that are not exactly the same, two disparate things, can combine together. So the Gemara starts out by quoting a Mishnah that appears in Masechet Zavin. The Mishnah in Zavin tells us that there's a Takana Derabanan, that after a person goes to the mikvah, they are not allowed to bathe or immerse in Mayim Shuvin, in drawn water. Now, if a person goes into Mayim Shuvin to begin with, then obviously that's not a valid tevila. You have to go into regular mikvah water. But let's say a person already went into the mikvah, and then after that, they stick their head or the majority of their body into Mayim Shuvin, or you had a person who was tahor, where at least three lug of Mayim Shuvin fell on their head or on the majority of their body. So there was a takana derabanan that person is now tummy, that it's going to retroactively undermine the previous tevila that they did. So what's the question? How does this relate to the previous topic? By Rabbi Yirmiya, chetzio bevia vechetzio benefila mai teku. So Rabbi Yirmiya leaves as an unresolved question: what happens if, let's say, half of the shear, half of the measurement of mayim of the tevila was by entering the mikvah, and the other half was via the the mayim shuvin falling on your head? So Rabbi Yirmiya is not sure whether such a person would become tamei midrabanan. Again, if a person enters mayim shuvin after they go to the mikvah, or if a certain measure of mayim shuvin, if three look fall on their head afterwards, everyone agrees that they're tamei midrabanan. The question is, what if it was a half and half? What if he partially entered the mayim shuvin and then let's say a look and a half fell on his head? So that's a suffix. And then finally, the Gemara says,
What's the time limit for that?
It's a good question. So the pashtus is that it has to be within you know, soon after you go to the mikvah. It doesn't mean that you can't shower hours after you go to the mikvah, but it means if it's clear that you're going, because again, in the times of the Gemara, most of the mikvahs were very grungy. They had dirty water. So if you went right afterwards to go to the shower to get all the stuff off, then it almost looked like you were trying to wash off the mikvah water. Essentially, that was the issue. So if you go a few hours later, so then maybe so then it doesn't look that way anymore. Okay, and then finally, the Gemara says, Amar of Papa, Hare Amru, Balkari Chola, Shenasno Lav Tisha Kabin Mayim Tar. So Mishnah Meseches Mikvaos. So let's say a person who's a Balkari. So normally, a Balkari is also, again, supposed to go to the mikvah, but let's say the guy is too ill, he's too sick to go to the mikvah. So there was a special Takana Derabanan that if a person is too ill to go to the mikvah, he can have what's called Tisha Kabin. He can have 9 kav of water poured on his head, and that can suffice Bidyeved in order to be Metahir the Balkari. So the Mishnah says that if he has the 9 kav poured on his head, then he's Tahar. So the Shaila is, the shaila was, what if half of the measurement was through immersion in a mikvah and the other half was via the 9 kav being poured on his head? So again, the Gemara leaves it as an unresolved subject. Okay, getting back to regular gittin topics, the Mishnah said, Echad Omer b'fanei nichtav ve'echad Omer. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Yochanan, lo shanu ela she'en haget yotzei mitachas yidei shneem, avol get yotzei mitachas yidei shneem kasher. Alma kasavar shneim shehiviyu get mi medinas hayam, ein shrichen sheyomru b'faneinu nichtav u'v'faneinu nechtam. The Mishnah told us that if I have one aid says that the get was written in front of me, and one aid says that the get was signed in front of me, everyone agrees that such a get is puzzle. So the Gemara qualifies that statement and says that's only true where the husband only appointed one person as a shaliach. So now I have two different people who are doing two different activities. One witnessed the ksiva, one witnessed the chasima. That's not good enough. But let's say the husband specifically appointed two people. He said, I want you to witness the ksiva and you to witness the chasima. So the Gemara says that's okay. If two aidim were there to produce the get, they witnessed different parts and they were specifically appointed for that purpose, then that's okay. So the Gemara says, you see from here that Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that if two people bring a get from Chutz La'aretz, they do not need to say b'faneinu nechtav u'b'faneinu nechtam. The assumption is that they were appointed by the husband for that purpose. So the Gemara pushes back. Amar le'a ba'ye elame'ata seifa dekatane shnayim omrim b'faneinu nechtav ve'echad omer b'faneinu nechtam pasul v'Rabbi Yehuda machshir taima de'ein haget yotzei mitachas yidei shneem haget yotzei mitachas yidei shneem machshir rabbanan. Amar le'in. So the problem is that the latter part of the Mishnah tells us that if I have two eidim who say the get was written in front of us, only one eid says that we witnessed the signatures, so there's a machlokas in the Mishnah what the status of that get is. According to the Tanna Kamma, such a get is puzzle. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's okay. So the Gemara says, are you going to tell me that the only reason why the Rabbanan invalidates such a get is only because the husband did not specifically appoint these two people to deliver, in other words, to witness the ksiva and the chasima? So the Gemara says, yes, that's in fact the case. In other words, if the husband would have specifically appointed these two aidim to witness different parts of the get process, then it sounds like that even the Rabbanan would agree that the get is kosher, which again seems to run counter to the simple reading of the Mishnah. So the Gemara explains So the Gemara asks, "V'chi ein get yotze mitachas yedei shneim b'may pligei mar savar gazrinan dil maasiel leichlufe b'kiyum shtarus da'alma be'erachad umar savar lo gazrinan." So the question is, what is the machlokas revolving around in a case where the husband does not specifically appoint both of these eidim to witness different parts of the get process? So the Gemara says that the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbana basically boils down to: are we afraid that people are going to conflate this scenario of a get with regular kiyum shtarus? In other words, the Rabbana say that if you witness, you know, let's say only an Eid Echad who watched the writing of the get and only an Eid Echad watching the chasima, and then and it turns out that the get is kosher, at least in the scenario, in other words, if we were to say that the get was kosher in a case where the husband did not specifically appoint two witnesses, so one might think that in regular Kiyum Shtaros, by certifying a regular Shtar, so perhaps an Eid Echad also suffices, which is not the case. By regular Kiyum Shtaros, you really require two Eidim. So according to the Rabbanan, that concern of conflating the case of the get with other cases of Kiyum Shtaros is a legitimate concern, and therefore, if the husband did not specifically appoint these two Eidim to witness different parts of the get process, the get is going to be invalid. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, we're not concerned for that conflation. We're not worried that people are going to conflate the scenario of get with regular Kiyum Shtaros. This is all in the first version of the Gemara. Then the Gemara quotes the second version, where it says basically the exact opposite. Lishna acharina amrila, amar Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda Rabbi Yochanan, afilu get yotze mitachas yedei shneim pasol, alma kasafar shneim shehivu get mimedina sayam. In the second version, Rabbi Yochanan says the exact opposite, which is that even if the get is produced by both Eidim, meaning they were both authorized by the husband to witness different parts of the get process, the get is still possible, according to the Rabbanan, which means that Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that when two people bring a get from Chutz La'aretz, they both have to say Bifaneinu Nichtav Uvifaneinu Nechtav. It's not enough for each one of them to witness different parts. They have to witness the entire thing, the Ksiva and the Chasima. So again, the Gemara asks,
Well,
that's part of the discussion in the Gemara. It's not 100% clear that's the case. Meaning,
so these Eidim just show up and say, "I happen to have been there."
I was there. The same way that Eidim can show up and say, "I saw Reuven murder Shimon." No one appointed them to be there. They witnessed what happened, right? So that's part of the discussion here. That's exactly part of this whole discussion in the two versions of the Gemara. Were they specifically appointed? Does it matter that they were specifically appointed? That's exactly what the Gemara is trying to figure out here. Okay.
Appointed by the husband in the first version.
Right.
If the court appoints them, is that the same thing?
Well, the court doesn't really have the authority to appoint. I mean, again, maybe in certain exceptional cases, but normally it has to be the husband who authorizes them to do it, right? In other words, the court can't, you know, normally can't force a husband to get divorced. It has to be the husband's authority, right?
It doesn't say that they say, "Oh, we need two witnesses." They go out and they find two guys in court. I mean,
that's exactly part of the Gemara's question, is trying to figure out, you know, where do these guys come from? Were these people authorized by the husband? Does it matter that they were authorized by the husband? That's what we're trying to figure out with these two versions of the Gemara. Okay, so the Gemara again pushes back. Amar le Abaye, ela me'ata seifa dekatani shnayim omrim b'faneinu nichda ve'achar omr b'faneinu nechnam pasel v'Rabbi Yehuda machshir afilu get yotze mitachas yedei shneim pasel rabbanan. Amar le'in. So in the second version, the Gemara says the exact opposite of what it said in the first version, right? Again, in the latter part of the Mishnah, it said that if two Eidim say, "We saw the get being written," only one Eid says that, "I saw the get being signed." So again, it's the same machlokas. According to the Rabbanan, such a get is pasel. According to Rabbi Yehuda, such a get is kosher. So the Gemara asks, does that mean to say that even if the husband authorized both Eidim, he said one Eid is going to witness the Ksiva and one Eid is going to witness the Chasima, that such a get is still pasul according to the Rabbanan? The Gemara says, yes, even in that scenario, and again, this is all in the second version, the Rabbanan are still going to disqualify the get. So the question, of course, is b'may kamiflage. What's the machlokas here between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan in the second version? So the Gemara explains, mar stavar lefi she'ein b'kiyin l'shma, umar stavar lefi she'ein Eidim mitzuyin l'kaima. The age-old machlokas that we started this mesechta with, from the machlokas between Rabba and Rava, about basically why is it that we require Bifanei Nichtav in the first place. According to Rabba, as we mentioned in the beginning of the Masechta, it's because we think that people in Chutz La'aretz don't know the halacha, they don't understand the requirement of Lishma, whereas according to Rava, it was more of a practical matter than in Edom Mitzuyin Lekaimo. You're not going to have the Edom available if you go to Eretz Yisrael and the get was originally written in Chutz La'aretz, the Edom are not going to be accessible. So asks the Gemara, Lema de Rabba veRava Tanahi. So does this mean to say that the machlokas between Rabba and Rava that we quoted back in the beginning of the Masechta is really a machlokas Tanoi between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabban? That's what the Gemara is making it seem like. It's, in other words, it makes it sound like this machlokas in the Mishnah about whether a get is kosher in a case where two Eidim said that we saw the Ksiva and only one Eid said we saw the Chasima, that was a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. It sounds like from at least the second version of the Gemara that that's really just a reframing of the machlokas between Rabba and Rava. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Lo, Rava misarets kalishna kama. So Rava can get out of this by simply following the first version of the Gemara. Because again, remember, in the first version, the Gemara said that the machlokas was a much more watered down takana derabbanan. It was a much lower level question about whether we think that people are going to conflate the case of get with regular kiyum shtaru. So Rava can simply say that I have the concern of edim mitsuyin lekaimo. That was Rava's concern in the beginning. In other words, that the edim are not going to be accessible. So we have that same concern in the first version. So again, Rava can kind of wiggle out of that by saying that that was his concern. On the other hand, v'raba amar lecha dechule alma ba'inan lishma v'hachka b'mayaskinan la'achar shalamdu uvegzera shemayachsor hadavar lekil kulo kamiflege demar savar gazrinan umar savar lo gazrinan. So the Gemara says that according to Rabba, again, Rabba is the one who says that the reason why you require Befanai Nichtav is because we're afraid that people in Chutz La'aretz don't know the halacha. So very simply, you could just say that we're talking about a scenario where the B'nai Chutz La'aretz learned the halacha. Someone taught them the requirement of the Shema, so now everyone knows the halacha. So then the obvious question is, if everyone in Chutz La'aretz knows the halacha, why would anyone say that there's a requirement of Befanai Nichtav? So the question is, do we have to make a gzera fearing for the fact that the B'nai Chutz La'aretz are going to forget the halacha? They're going to go back to their original ways and forget the halacha. So that's the machlokas according to Rabba between Rabbi Huda and the Rabbanan. According to the Rabbanan, even if the B'nai Chutz La'aretz learned the halacha and they understood lishma, they understood all the details of get, we think that they may forget it in the future. And apparently Rabbi Huda was not concerned for that. Then the Gemara has almost a textual question: the liflog nami Rabbi Huda Beresha. So the question is, why does the Mishnah only present Rabbi Huda as dissenting with the Rabbanan in this latter case where two witnesses saw the ksiva and only one witness saw the chasima? In other words, presumably, based on the way that we're explaining the machlokas, Rabbi Huda should have disagreed even in the first case in the Mishnah, where one aid witnessed the ksiva and one aid witnessed the chasima. Why is it only being presented in this latter case? So the Gemara says, you're right. Ha'idmar Allah Amar Ula Cholakaya Rabbi Huda Af Barishona. Rabbi Huda also disagrees in the first case, but for some reason the Mishnah just decided to present him at the end of the Mishnah. Okay, then the Gemara says, Masiv Rav Oshia Lula Rabbi Huda Machshir Bezovaloba Acheres My Lav Lima Ute Echad Omer Befanei Nechdam Ve'Echad Omer Befanei Nechdam. The problem is that there's a Tosefta that says that Rabbi Yehuda only disagrees with the Rabbanan in this case, but in no other case, which presumably means, says the Gemara, that he's only disagreeing about the one case where his opinion actually appears, namely where two witnesses say we saw the ksiva, one witness says that I saw the chasima, but not in the case where it was one and one, where one witness says I saw the ksiva and one says I saw the chasima. So the Gemara says, lo, l'ma'ute b'fanei nechtama v'lo b'fanei nechtav, salkadei tachamina, ho'o v'lo gazer, Rabbi Yehuda gzera shema yachzer davar l'kil kulo, dilma asei l'echlufei b'kiyum shtaros da'ama be'edach anami lo gazer. The Gemara says, no, that the case that the Tosefta was excluding, according to Rabbi Yehuda, was a scenario where all you had was one witness who said, I saw the signatures, I saw the get being signed, but no one said that I saw the get being written. So what's the question is, what's the chiddush? Why would I have thought that such a get is kosher according to Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara says, one could have argued as follows. As we pointed out in the previous Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda was not concerned for this idea that once the B'nai Chutz La'aretz learn the halacha, that they're going to come to forget it. So just as Rabbi Yehuda is not worried that the B'nai Chutz La'aretz will forget the halacha, and he did not feel it necessary to impose a gezerah in a case where two witnesses saw the ksiva and one saw the chasima, because he didn't think that once they learn the halacha, they're going to forget it. So I could have argued that perhaps that initial concern that we mentioned in the first version of the Gemara, that maybe people are going to conflate the scenario of get with regular kiyum shtaros, with regular certification, and think that you can certify a regular shtar with an eid echad, perhaps Rabbi Yehuda is also not concerned with that possibility. So the Gemara says, no, kamash malon, that it's not the case. Kamash malon, that Rabbi Yehuda is in fact concerned with that possibility that a person might conflate it with the case of Enech. Then the Gemara says, Itmar nami, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Shnaim Shehivu get mi Medina Sayam, Banu lemachlokas Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabban. And this very case about two people who bring a get from Chutz La'aretz is subject to the machlokas. According to Rabbi Yehuda, they do not have to say Bifanei Nechtav or Bifaneinu Nechtav u Bifaneinu Nechtam. He assumes the get is kosher, whereas according to the Rabbanan, they do have to say that. Okay, then the Gemara says, Rabba Bar Bar Chana Chalash, Ulegabe Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabba Lishayulebe. So Rabba one time took ill, and Rav Yehuda and Rabba went to go visit him to see how he was doing. Ba'u minei, shnaim sheheviyu get mi medina sayam, tzrichen sheyomer b'faneinu nechtav u'b'faneinu nechtam o'in tzrichen. They raised this shayla. Two people are bringing a get from Chutz La'aretz. Do they need to say b'faneinu nechtav or not? So Amar Lehem ain't tzrichen. He says, no, there's no need for them to say b'faneinu nechtav u'b'faneinu nechtam. Why not? Ma ilu yomru b'faneinu gersha, milo mehemnei. Because imagine two Edom come into Bezdin and they say, Ruvain divorced Rachel. So of course you believe them. And halacha, you always believe two Edom. So if two Edom were to walk into Bezdin, so it, and they have a get, and they don't say anything. They don't say b'faneinu nichtav b'faneinu nechtam. So Rabba Bar Bar Chana says, of course you should believe them. Why? Because if they just walked in without a get, they just said, we know, we witnessed, we saw Reuven divorcing Rachel, so you would believe them anyway, even without a get there. So obviously if they walk in with an actual get, even if they don't technically certify the get and say b'faneinu nichtav b'faneinu nechtam, you should certainly believe them. So the Gemara says, ad hachi asa hahu chavra shakla l'shraga mikamayu. Amar Rachamana, o betulach, o betula devar Esav. So in the meantime, this Persian priest walked in and took the lamp away that Rabba Bar Bar Chana was using because he was ill. So we had a lamp being lit. Why did a Persian priest come in and take the lamp away? This is the whole sugya that appears in Maseches Avodah Zarah, that basically on the Persian holidays, they would not allow people to light fires outside of the Persian temple. So because it was a Persian holiday, he came and he took the lamp away, and Rabba commented, he said to Hashem, either let us live in your shade or in the shade of the children of Esav. He was saying basically, you know, if you don't let us relight the lamp, so then we're gonna have to live in the shadow of the descendants of Esav. Okay.